Now at McDonald's, get a $5 McChicken meal deal or a $6 McDouble meal deal. They come with small fries, a soft drink, and four-piece McNuggets. We're going to need a bigger tray. Get more value with your meal deal with McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Still high on this Knicks win?
Yes.
All I do is watch.
Did you go to the parade?
No.
Did I ask you that?
I was out of town.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, all I do is rewatch the games, read articles. They just masterfully went through the draft.
Yes.
Avoided all first round contracts, trying to keep the team together.
Yeah.
So excited about that.
Yep. You saw Spike holding the trophy during the draft.
Not only that, seeing all the old players holding trophies. Joker, y'all ain't got nothing to do with this. But hey, I want them to
live. Listen, let them live.
Because I'm living through it. So,
did they let Oakley hold it?
Man, that's a very good question. Because don't let Oakley don't mess with each other like that.
Right. Anyway,
launch an investigation on that for sure.
I'm on it.
But let's talk this week about Uncle Nearest.
Okay.
There's a couple of black companies that have really been all over the news in a good way and a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they're on the rise, everyone's talking good about them, right?
Yeah.
But the moment they stumble,
mm-hmm.
everybody has judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
I feel like the judgment, the criticism is louder when they stumble.
Than the praise on
the praise on the way up.
Yeah.
And that's sad. I was reading the thing that prompted this show today. I do a lot of scrolling on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning, there was a young man, Morehouse student, not even a graduate, like a student.
Okay.
And he just made a simple post on a Martha's Vineyard group. Like,
mm-hmm.
we've all had so much fun partying at the Uncle Nearest estate at the house in Martha's Vineyard. Uncle Nearest, the company, has supported this young man through a scholarship
mm-hmm.
at his college, Morehouse College. And he's basically just asking the question to the group of adults who he would expect would be helpful. What can we do to help?
Right.
And I promise you, Andrea, if there were 30 comments,
mm-hmm.
27 comments were kicking the back end of Fawn Weaver.
What?
Dancing on the grave of Uncle Nearest. Everybody's got fingers to point. Well, she should have not. And don't you know that? And they didn't even file taxes. And where they do that at?
Mm-hmm.
And like, it is so easy to point fingers at somebody that's made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much more difficult to give them grace. It's so easy to turn your back on people, especially in our community. I just find that a lot of times we are our worst critics and our worst enemies in business. And it's like very sad for me to watch. You know, like the main thing.
All of a sudden, everybody's business experts, right?
Yeah. They don't read through
the
whole bankruptcy.
In the criticism.
Mm-hmm. Filing. Meanwhile, how much Uncle Nearest have you bought?
Right.
How many times have you asked a bar why they don't stock Uncle Nearest?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like things you could do to help.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the one answer is like buy some product like
mm-hmm.
that, you know, helps them to pay their bills.
That's right.
During this process. So we'll talk about the good and the bad and the lessons from Uncle Nearest. While a lot of folks are dancing on the grave of this company, of this entrepreneur, we also just want to give you some additional perspective because we did read through the filings. What's interesting is that the company has been going through what's called a receivership,
mm-hmm.
where basically it's being run for the benefit of the debt holders, the people
mm-hmm.
who loaned money to the company.
Yep.
An offer has been accepted by the debt holders, effectively, the receiver, to kind of reinvigorate the company for their benefit and the benefit of the new investors. If this deal goes through, the new investors will kind of take over.
Mm-hmm.
The equity of the old investors will be wiped out, which is unfortunate because there were a lot of really high profile investors. I know you're friends with one of the
mm-hmm.
guys, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's sad, you know, and this is not like everyone who's like watching from the sideline, it's easy to point fingers, but there's a lot of people in our community who've been hurt by this. And so we'll walk through some lessons of what can be learned. But I hope the listener, you're not here to also dance on the grave of Uncle Nearest and Phone Weaver. I hope you're here to just be educated and to maybe walk away with some positives from a really difficult situation. Yeah, I'm also in touch with the new investor group that is coming in and looking to take over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've also probably have a little more insight than most about the financial state of the company and the plans moving forward. So we'll talk about it.
Let's do it.
We'll talk about it. So let's first, can we start with the good stuff? Let's start with the good stuff. So here's the story of Uncle Nearest. So there, back in the 1800s, there's a man called Nathan Green, and his nickname was Nearest. And he was born into slavery.
I wonder how he got that nickname.
Yeah.
I have all kinds of stories I've created.
Yeah.
In 2 seconds about how that came.
Give me one. I know it's completely fabricated, but give me one.
It's completely made up. Good. So I will say that again and again. So it could be, you said he's born into slavery. Maybe he was very attached to his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Nearest.
Yeah.
She's got a bunch of kids, but he's the one that like.
Always close.
It's always close.
Yeah. I like that.
Mama's boy, Nearest. Or maybe he had a bunch of siblings and.
Yeah, he was the nearest
one. You just got to distinguish one from the other.
I like that.
All kinds of Southern slavery folklore going around in my head. But anyway.
Yeah.
We don't know. But now I feel like I got to go find out.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
But back to the matter at hand.
All right. So Green was born into slavery. He was leased to a man named Dan Call. Dan Call was a distiller in Lynchburg, Tennessee. And Green served as his head distiller. He was the one in charge of the whiskey making.
Okay.
And good old Uncle Nearest was credited with perfecting the Lincoln County process, a unique way of filtering whiskey through sugar maple charcoal before aging it. And it really became the distinguishing characteristic of Tennessee whiskey. Hmm. Later on, 1859, this was the early 1800s or 1859, later on, a young orphan named Jasper Jack Daniel. How did Jasper Jack Daniel get his nickname?
Just pure laziness. Just Jack.
Jasper Jack. Jasper's one of those old school names, by the way.
It really is.
You don't meet too many Jaspers. I do know one Jasper.
I know two Jaspers.
Yeah.
And one is over 60, one is over 50.
Yeah. Well, Jasper went to work for Dan Call.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan introduced him to Uncle Nearest and said, he is the best whiskey maker I know of.
Mm.
And Uncle Nearest then taught young Jack Daniel how to make whiskey.
This is fun.
Later on, Civil War ends. 13th Amendment is passed. Green is emancipated. He continues to work at the distillery as a free paid master distiller. When I say free, like he's not no longer a slave.
Right.
Later on, a year or two later, Jack Daniel makes his own distillery.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Call retires from the business.
Hmm.
Jack Daniel hires Nearest Green to be the master distiller of the Jack Daniel Distillery. Over time, three of Green's sons and his future grandsons would eventually work for Jack Daniel as well. But like,
this legacy.
They don't own any of it.
Yeah, I know.
He passes away in 1890. Over the next century, Jack Daniel's, Tennessee whiskey, these things blow up. And the creator got zero of the benefits.
That's right.
Fast forward. 2016, the New York Times writes an article about the role of Nearest Green in mentoring Jack Daniel. Person who reads this article is Fawn Weaver, and she says, you know what? I want to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
So she reaches out to the descendants of Nearest Green and basically says, look, I want your permission to build a company that honors your family, honors your great, great, great grandfather.
No judgment. Whiskey connoisseur, you?
Me? I'll partake.
Can you distinguish these brands over
Well, for one, I don't drink Jack Daniels. It's too low bar for me. No disrespect to anybody that drinks Jack Daniels.
So you bougie with your whiskey. Okay. Yeah,
it's a good whiskey.
Okay. I mean, but it's not a top shelf. Is it? Is Jack Daniels considered top shelf? Okay.
Is Jack Daniels top shelf?
Yeah. Nah. I mean, it's a recognized brand, but to me, popular doesn't mean top shelf to me.
Yeah, Jack Daniels is like Budweiser for whiskey.
That's why I'm asking. I'm completely ignorant.
Very popular.
Yep.
Widely accessible.
Yep. That's what I was gathering.
I don't personally mess with it.
Right.
It's like I don't drink Budweiser.
Right.
But nothing against it. I'm not saying it's bad. Salesman. I literally haven't tasted Jack Daniels in so long, I couldn't even tell you what it tastes like.
Got it. Okay. But
people will get a Jack and Coke in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I just had no idea if you can distinguish.
People that drink whiskey, they drink it neat. They might drink it on the rocks. Mm-hmm. Me, I take mine.
What does that mean?
Neat is just poured in a glass and I'll drink
it. Okay, neat. Nothing added to it.
On the rocks is with ice.
With ice, now, I got that.
People make fun of me, but I take my whiskey on the rocks with a lemon. I squeeze a lemon in there.
Okay.
And I'm good.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I wish I had one. I was joking. Right now. My family does battle alcoholism, and like I know it's inside me because when I drink, I feel very good. But I have the ability, thank God, to control it. Like I don't drink every week or every day or every month for that matter. But I know it's in me. I'm like, man, this got me feeling so good.
Just gotta know thyself.
Yeah. So, and some people are mad at Fawn because, like, you know, the family was not a shareholder in the company. Like they did have scholarships for their descendants and they do honor the family, right? There is a foundation that gives scholarships directly to Green's descendants. So she does honor the family in that way. But like some people are like, yo, you just stole their legacy and made it about you. Because I actually thought wrongly that she was one of the descendants. Mm-hmm. In fact, she learned about them.
Yeah.
And is honoring them with this company. Mm. So 2017, a year later, the company launches. And she does her thing. Like, she really does. Like, this company creates its first commercial spirit in 2018. It was called the Nathan Green 1870 Single Barrel. It was first launched in the UK. They built a distillery at a horse farm in Shelbyville, Tennessee. And it's the first distillery in the U.S. named after a black person. Like, they're doing it right historically.
Yep.
They hire Victoria Edie Butler, and she's one of the descendants of Nearest Green. And she becomes the master blender for the brand, and she goes on to win multiple industry awards as Master Blender of the Year. Uncle Nearest goes on to become the most awarded American whiskey of the year between 2019 and 2020. They win over 1,100 awards. They are selling their whiskeys at a premium price of $50 to $80 per bottle, which is premium. I would say Jack Daniels probably sells for like, I guess like $30, $40. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still no ownership, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying this in a judgment way. I'm just asking.
Yeah, no, the family, as far as I know,
okay,
you know, they're not owners of it. They raise a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
They also launch in 2020 the Nearest and Jack Advancement Initiative, which is a $5 million JV to promote diversity in the spirits industry. So they're giving back. They're doing all kinds of things. The company launched a $50 million venture fund to invest in other spirit brands in 2021. And at some point, by the way, like, this company is valued as a billion-dollar company.
Yep.
Sales aren't billion-dollar yet, but like, right. It's like SpaceX is $1 trillion company.
Exactly.
Uncle Nearest was valued at $1 billion, which means Fawn Weaver.
Yep.
On paper, at least.
Yep.
Billionaire, close to it.
Yeah.
Very wealthy.
A lot of companies are overvalued.
Yeah.
It's fine.
She buys the crib in Martha's Vineyard and uses it as an activation point for the black elite in Martha's Vineyard. I've personally never been there, so.
I've never been to the Uncle Nearest party in the vineyard.
Yeah, I wanted to go.
In three visits as an adult.
Yeah, what's crazy, it's being sold right now. It's being sold.
The property, yes.
One of my homeboys is buying it.
Yeah.
And I hope it goes through and hope he can like continue to honor like the tradition of black folks getting together, you know what I mean, at that place, even if it's not for Uncle Nearest.
I just hope we're not going to the party and then coming back with the critiques.
Word.
Like you were saying.
Word.
Like, if you're not down, don't be down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 2023, she expanded even more. She opened Humble Baron, which is a massive entertainment venue that has a 518-foot horseshoe bar, so like a bar shaped like a horseshoe, in Tennessee. It's actually gotten a Guinness World Record for the longest bar in the world, 518-feet long bar.
Yeah.
And they do live music. They do parties. So, like, you know, she's getting into, I'm going to say, the horizontal integration, like getting beyond just making spirits, but like having places where you can celebrate the spirits.
Do we know where this is, Humble Baron?
It's in Tennessee.
It is in Tennessee.
In Tennessee also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She writes a best-selling book, Love and Whiskey.
Yep.
Talking about the history of green, nearest green. And by 2025, the brand is literally one of the best performing whiskeys in the country.
By a significant amount.
Yeah, they were outperforming the whiskey category by 31%. And then things started to shift. It started to shift.
Just 1 year later.
Yeah, it was all good just a year ago. By August of 2025... they had to go through a corporate restructuring because they defaulted on some loans. Their sales dropped as a result. Like, their sales have been $25 million a year, in some cases as much as $30 million a year, which is how they came up with the valuation that they thought that the company was worth. You know, Fawn Weaver said, look, even if it's not a billion, it's at least worth $300 million. Yeah, we may owe $200, but that means that the company equity is still worth $100.
Right.
Receiver judge is like, nah. Receiver judge is like, nah. It's worth more like $50 million, which puts the company upside down. If you owe 200, right? Company's worth 50. That means negative 150 is what the company's worth.
Tennessee judge, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what's crazy, so even the $300 million that Fawn Weaver said that the company's worth, that's just 12 times sales.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put this in perspective.
I'm listening. I'm with you.
SpaceX just went public, 91 times sales, at a price that literally was just made up by Elon Musk.
Totally made up.
The 12x valuation that Fawn Weaver was saying the company was worth, it was based on comps. It was based on Casamigos, Aviation Gin. Like, she didn't just make up 12x. 91 times, completely fabricated.
Yep.
Like, 91 times, there's no public company trading at 91 times sales.
Right.
That's absurd, but I digress. So basically, we have a situation where they default, and that's real. Like, you can't pay your bills.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. During that period, it was uncovered that they had inflated the value of their assets in order to obtain the loan. They basically said that we've got way more whiskey barrels than they actually have, which isn't a problem unless you default on the loan. Like, meaning, as long as you're making your payments, nobody cares what's on your loan.
Right.
Application.
Right.
The minute you can't make a payment, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Let me look into this now. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you default on a loan, then the lender's like, oh, why don't you just sell some barrels and then give us the money?
Right.
And they're like, oh, we ain't got the barrels.
We ain't got the barrels.
And that's when things really started to go south. So we've talked about the good. I love the good part. Like, when I watch certain movies, I only want to watch it till...
And then you're out.
And then I stopped. Like, I know. When I watched,
we had this conversation about Sinners.
Yeah.
You were like, Sinners, yeah, I'm not finishing that.
No, I finished it. But when I rewatch it, I stop at the point when the lady, the Asian woman lets the
people, vampires.
Yeah, lets them into the house. Have you seen the movie yet?
Yeah.
When I watch the Temptations movie, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I now watch it before David Ruffin leaves the group. Yeah. Like, I pretty much at the cookout, that's when I turn it off. Because that's when he hits Shorty, too. Yep. I don't like to see women getting beat.
Yeah.
So if you want to not hear any of the bad, you can...
Don't listen anymore.
Don't not listen. But maybe here's what you do. All right. We're going to talk for like about the bad stuff. But
fast
then we'll get to the lessons.
Yeah,
you get to the lessons. Yep. So maybe go to the third segment and we'll talk about the lessons.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
On the under $3 menu at McDonald's, a McChicken is $2. Because when you're craving a McChicken, you deserve a McChicken. And now that McChicken is just $2 with McValue.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Momentum.
So we're back. Joker's out here dancing on the grave of Uncle Nearest. I'll tell you, I was so proud when I learned that Uncle Nearest taught Jack Daniels how to make whiskey.
That's dope.
I was so proud when I walked into a bar and saw that bottle behind the counter.
Yep.
I was so proud telling my friends about it.
Right.
Did you
I need
know?
People to know. Like, that's one of those things where I'm proud. I want people to know the history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To taste it and to think about the fact that, like, one of his descendants actually made this.
Right. Everybody.
Yeah.
Not just the people in our community. Everybody should know that.
Word.
That's American history.
And real talk, I've told some of my white clients and friends about Uncle Nearest. And they're like, oh my God.
Right.
Thank you for telling me that. I didn't know that. I proudly rock an Uncle Nearest hat and I get nothing but compliments when I wear it.
Yeah.
And what's crazy, because of all this, there's some people, some black folks that won't even buy Uncle Nearest anymore.
Right.
Like all that thrown out because of some financial issues. So let's talk about that. We did the good. We'll talk about some of the bad stuff that happened here. So for one, they were expanding very, very fast. They they built a really expensive distillery. They expanded on it. They then built this record-breaking Humble Baron bar. They then bought this beautiful $2 plus million home on Martha's Vineyard. And I heard they threw the best parties, even though I ain't get an invite. A lot of times it was the investors who got.
Right there on the island. And
I know. I'd be like, hey, so what y'all doing tonight? I did find out about the party.
You know how things work in the vineyard, though. It's kind of like.
Yeah.
Unless it goes up on a site where you can actually buy tickets, that's.
Oh,
some exclusive word of mouth stuff. And
yeah, I found out about one of the parties and I was just going to roll up. Like I am the master of acting like I'm supposed to be somewhere.
You are the master at that.
Yeah. You were with me one time in Martha's Vineyard.
Yep.
We going from porch to porch.
You were like, hey, walk with me over here. And I'm like, I'm not dressed for that. You're like, it's the vineyard. You don't have to be dressed for that.
Yeah.
And then you were like, I'm going to go over here for a second. I was like, he ain't coming back. He ain't coming
back. That party was dope. That porch party.
It was.
You were there with all kinds of dignitaries. I forget whose house it was. Somebody's big house.
I can't even remember because, I mean, I'm not saying this as a flex, but like after several visits, I can't distinguish one trip from the other. But I do remember you convincing me to walk over to this party when I had on like some Nike skort and like some workout clothes and some flip-flops.
And you were still crushing them. You were good. You were in there.
I was so uncomfortable
because
I just felt like I was underdressed. Whatever. I was so self-conscious. And then you were out.
Yeah. But you were good. You were in good hands.
It's fine.
I forgot what I went to go do.
You ran into somebody you knew because that also happens in the vineyard. And you were like, I'm just going to pop over here for a second. I'll be back. And I was like, well, you ain't coming back.
Yeah.
Anyway. Back to the topic.
So I would have gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I'm there with the fam, it's hard to, like, I can't sneak three kids into the party.
No, you cannot.
Yeah. So I
mean, they practically grown now.
My baby son.
You probably could.
My baby son
could do it. At this point, you probably could. Yeah.
I've taught my baby son how to eat at the bar in restaurants. I'm like, look, if you ever are really starving and you want to eat faster, go to the bar. Now, look, don't go there ordering milk. Like, don't go there ordering a Sprite. Like, you gotta just order some food, you know, speak to the guy, you know, the gal, and, you know, they'll serve you quick.
I could totally see him doing that effortlessly.
Yeah, and he's good. He's taking everybody to the bar now. Yeah.
He is your twin.
So we'll get into this bankruptcy. So they owe $208 million at the peak of their debts. $121 million from a lender called Farm Credit Mid-America, $45 million to American Spirits, $20 million to basically Jay-Z's venture capital firm, and then a bunch of other debts. And they basically blamed, and I don't know if this is true or not, right? But like they had a CFO named Michael Senzaki, and they basically have sued him saying that you're the one that did this. Like you're the one that hid.
Uncle Nearest sued him.
Yeah.
To say. Okay.
They basically said like you cooked the books. Like yeah. you mm-hmm. filled out these loan applications and overstated the value of the collateral. Like mm-hmm. we didn't even know that this was done.
But don't worry, you can do that and you can still be president. Oh, my
I mean, listen, there's that.
Sorry.
There is that. That's real.
That's not what we're doing today.
But that's real.
Yep.
Yeah, so they've basically sued him and basically tried to blame him.
Mm.
And they fired him and, you know.
Of course.
But it's still bad. It's still bad. They went back and basically did a public relations campaign. Basically saying, look, I know it's in the court filings what's been alleged here, but it's salacious, it's inaccurate. You know, she encourages people to buy even more whiskey, which actually helped for a while. Like mm-hmm. the sales went up for a little bit. She then attempted basically to say, look, let's do a Chapter 11 instead.
Reorg?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a restructure. Chapter mm-hmm. 7 is game over, but Chapter 11 yeah. is like, yo, let me restructure the company in a way yep. that gives the debt holders some money,
mm-hmm.
but you know, under maybe different terms, maybe a longer,
yeah.
you know, extension of the time to pay and whatnot. And basically in August of 25, you know, the judge was like, nah, like we're bringing in a receiver, a guy named Philip Young from a law firm. And he's the one who's independent, meaning he's not attached to the debt holders. He's not attached to the equity holders. He's not attached to Fawn or the company, but he is coming in to be kind of a fiduciary on behalf of the debt holders. Because mm-hmm. the way like companies are funded, right? There's the debt holders at the front of the line. The equity holders at the end of the line. We often talk about how debt is way cheaper than equity, but at the time when things go bad, the debt holder is the boss.
Mm-hmm.
If you've loaned money to a company and the debt is structured properly, then that—
they have to pay you first.
Yeah, they are at the front of the line. And basically, she's tried to take back control of the company. And like the judge is like, nah, the receivers are in charge. And the receivers have been able to stop the bleeding some. They've laid off a bunch of people. They're selling some assets, like they're selling the Martha's Vineyard home to my homeboy
mm.
and his wife. They are trying to right the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the receiver accepted recently a proposal from a black equity group, by the way,
mm-hmm.
who I'm in touch with, who is basically saying, look, we're going to continue to honor the traditions of this Uncle Nearest story, the black community. But we're going to, you know, bring some professional management into this to turn it around. And if they're successful, that'd be a great win. And I just hope that people will continue to, you know, vibe with the company.
Because mm-hmm.
think about how many black companies have been sold to, like, white companies. Mm-hmm. And, like, some people still mess with it. Some people don't
yeah.
anymore. Like, this is one of those times when, like, it would be a black owner that mm-hmm. takes it over.
Yeah.
And I would hope that black folks and non-black folks, I just hope folks would continue to mess with the company. So what is a receivership? Again, it is when an independent court-appointed receiver is the one in charge of the company. Management is completely out. Like Fawn Weaver, God bless you, you have no say in the situation. If this were a bankruptcy, like a Chapter 11, then there's a bankruptcy trustee, but management is still involved in kind of running the business. All right, so we've talked about the good, we've talked about the bad, and where the company is right now, it's in a little bit of limbo because there's a sale that should happen soon to some new equity investors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there will be a range of lawsuits from the old equity investors
yep.
who say, look, I got defrauded. I was lied to in the filings and whatnot. There's a bunch of tax returns that haven't been filed, a bunch of audits that haven't happened. There's rumors that there's some government agency that's coming in to Sue as well. And there's a lot of problems that Fawn and her husband and the team are gonna have to deal with. So let's switch gears now and let's just talk about some of the things that we can learn from the Uncle Nearest story. Now, this first set of things are like business things.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll end with some personal things. I think there's lessons to be had on both sides. So the first one is like Captain Obvious a little bit. Like, we got to be careful in business that we don't let our businesses grow too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have a lot of fixed costs, yeah. like I've got mortgages,
mm-hmm.
I've got these loans. Like, the moment your sales dip.
Yep.
Like,
it's going to be hard to pay those obligations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that's one of those lessons that's in personal life.
Yeah.
And in business life.
Absolutely.
But like during receivership. Like during this period, Uncle Nearest has been losing $135,000 every week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you will run out of money. You will be homeless
yeah.
at that rate.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is debt.
Mm-hmm.
And $25 million in sales is a lot. Like, that's a great
yeah.
success in business.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we cannot fund everything with loans.
Yes.
We don't need to fund everything with equity either, for that matter.
Exactly.
Sometimes you let your sales fund your business. Mm-hmm. Like, I think sales is like the cheapest form of capital.
Yeah.
And I think it was underestimated here.
Mm.
She had this valuation idea on paper of $1 billion, but the cash flow didn't really
support
back
that.
It up.
Yeah.
So make sure you don't grow too quickly. The next one, and this is real, and this is a lesson I've had to learn too as a business owner. You've got to understand your business better than anybody in that business.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand your books.
Yep.
You got to take a look at a loan application.
Legal things.
A legal document,
yeah.
whether it be an investor pitch. Like, because ultimately you're the one, if you're the CEO of that company.
Understand
like, you're,
control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on the hook for that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you might have a partner, and this is something I've been guilty of. I had a partner who was supposed to be looking at X, Y, and Z. I look at A, B, and C. And
mm-hmm.
like, I got in trouble because X, Y, and Z was foul. You know
right.
what I mean? And
yeah.
so sometimes as the CEO, you got to watch your partners too. You got to like be vigilant for all that stuff because
yep.
you can't outsource this stuff.
Right.
Because like, no one cares that it wasn't your responsibility if you're the CEO of a company.
Right.
That's on you.
The ideal balance is that the partners are looking over each other, not
Word.
Because of a lack of trust, but just so there's balance.
Word.
And sometimes when you grow fast, you don't have an opportunity to put those practices in place so that can be accomplished.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think also just on that note, growing fast, like there's danger in getting like famous. This is one of the reasons why I've always said with this podcast, like I'm cool that everybody hasn't heard this podcast before.
Yeah.
Because the more famous you get, the more, you know, like I said, you have more critics, more people.
Listen, I've never been in this business to be famous or to be the biggest.
Yeah, word.
I mean, that's said on the
word.
Firm's website, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to be the best, not the biggest.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that might look different to different people.
Yeah. I have a homeboy that raised a bunch of money from small investors very publicly. And mm-hmm. like the minute he had a small allegation of a stumble, not even an actual stumble.
Yeah.
They turned on him.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough when you're dealing with the public
mm-hmm.
and dealing with people that aren't used to this type of thing.
Yep.
All right. Other ideas that you can learn from Uncle Nearest's story. Understand the power that debt holders have to take over your company. Like, these banks, when they have collateral,
mm-hmm.
they want that.
Yeah.
Like, I was recently at a Twigo Foundation event,
mm-hmm.
and there was a discussion about ETA, entrepreneurship through acquisition. It's something
yes.
we've done a show about.
Yep.
It's the idea that you can go out and buy a business and get a bank loan or an SBA loan to buy the business. And like, it sounds really good. But the fine print on loans is like, do you have to pledge your home?
Right.
As collateral? Because
mm-hmm.
by the way, Fawn Weaver's got some homes
mm-hmm.
owned by this business.
That's
that could leave her
yeah.
with, you know, less places to lay her head
right.
after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Personal guarantee means like that's on you. You can't say, no, that was a business debt. It's got nothing to do with me. Like, nah, I know Donald Trump was able to escape paying debts that way, but you, your butt,
right?
Probably not going to be able to do that. So like if you in business decide to take out a loan, like really take that seriously. Like ask yourself, is this the best way to do it? I'm not telling you to take on equity. I think sales, did you?
Yeah, we're also not saying don't take out loans. We're just saying you need to understand all of your options and really analyze them and weigh them.
Yeah.
And choose the best one for that situation at that time.
Yes. Next lesson. You cannot hide behind the corporate veil if you're mixing your business with your personal stuff.
Yep.
How many times, Dre, you have a bunch of clients. I'm sure some people have businesses. And
yep.
How many times are they doing all kind of personal stuff with their business tax return?
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
It makes it murky. When Jay-Z and his venture capital company came in to make an investment, she did it through, Farn did it through her personal holding company called Grant Sidney. And now
that's
exposed. That's all part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like now the Farm Credit people are like, look, like, we want that.
You got this over here.
Yeah. Even though it might have been done in a separate LLC or a separate corporation, when you blur the lines, it takes away the corporate protection. Like, people talk about a limited liability corporation. But if you are doing personal transactions in your business account or doing transactions for business A, in the account of business B, you're blending all these things together and all your protections, all your limits on liability go away.
It's just hard to track.
Yeah.
Even with the best of intentions,
yeah,
it can just get hard to track.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
For sure. Next lesson. You got to communicate honestly with your investors and your lenders. When all this stuff started to hit the fan, God bless her, but Fawn Weaver, you know, basically started saying, oh, this ain't true. This they lying on me. And like that stuff, like when you're dealing with a court proceeding, bro, like all that stuff is evidence. Like all that stuff, when, you know, I'm sure she, if she could do it again, she would have handled it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to be truthful when you're dealing with investors, lenders, court proceedings. Your tweets become part of the public record.
That's right.
So you got to be open and honest and communicative. I've invested in a couple of businesses where they haven't gone well.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing that I care about is like, are you telling me what's going on?
Yeah.
Are you keeping it real? Even when it's uncomfortable,
mm-hmm,
reach out and be like, look, I know this is a payment you were expecting to get
right
this month.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be able to do it.
And here's why.
And here's why.
And here's our plan to not stay in this situation.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know you trusted me and I want to deliver. I'm working hard at it, but it just
didn't
materialize.
Work. Mm-hmm.
I'd rather you say that than make me have to chase you.
Also true.
I'd rather you say that than lie and tell me, oh no, it'll be here next week. Like, don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
Just be open, be honest. I'll tell you the times when I've been in a tough spot, whether it be a client who lost money because the market's down, like the more you like keep it real, the more they are understanding.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be a safe, not safe, but the trend that we were on when we bought, we're not on anymore. I thought better of it.
Were.
And I was wrong, but not because I'm not competent or technically sound. It just didn't go the way most people thought.
Yeah. Next lesson in business.
Chipotle.
Be careful of having a single point of failure in business.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like the Weavers blame that $21 million discrepancy in their inventory on this guy that they terminated, the CFO.
That's right.
And yeah, you could blame that guy, but like I said, it's on you.
Yeah.
Right? So like be careful. Don't let one person trip up your whole business.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about for you, Dre? Are there any lessons in business you want to make sure we leave the listeners with before we go to the personal stuff?
Yeah, you know, the my dad used to say, liars made figures, but figures don't lie.
I love that.
Ground your valuation in your realities, not just in historical hype. I mean, we can keep using space as an example, but it's like the valuation is not supported. The realities don't support the valuation. Yeah. And so, you know, you really need to understand the numbers to figure out. Like, some things are popular. They're big. Like, all the hype was SpaceX is going to be the largest IPO, and everyone's asking about it. And I'm like, a popular investment opportunity doesn't make it a good investment opportunity.
And not that we're market timers or anything, but have you seen what's happened to SpaceX since
honestly,
the IPO?
I have not paid attention in the last few days.
Yeah. Down.
Yep.
Yeah, a couple of days later, it was below the price where it traded on the first day.
Yeah.
Like, the clients that I have that are interested in that company, I'm like, look, I think, like, it's going to be worth, you'll be able to buy it for less than IPO price at some point.
Exactly.
In the future, I promise
you. You don't have to get in on it at the IPO price.
Yeah.
Let the market do what it has historically done.
Yeah.
And give it time for a true valuation to come out. And if you still believe in it,
yeah,
I'll allow it.
Yeah. You know what a company really is worth? It's what people are willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
And if they're not willing to write you a check for that amount, then it ain't worth that. Mm-hmm. And that's real.
That's real.
So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll end with some good, positive lessons that you can learn in your personal financial life.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
Ooh, it's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you may not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to Progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit Progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
So Dre, on that first point about valuation, it's like the same idea of paper profits, right? Like, there's a lot of folks that, and I'll tell you a story of a real client now who shall remain nameless. Like, he has a huge holding in a handful of stocks.
Yeah.
But he also took out a big loan against those stocks. And when those stocks drop in value, he still, the loan stays.
Margin calls come due.
Right where it is. Right? So, like, wealth on paper is kind of illusory.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't real.
Word of the episode.
Yeah.
Illusory.
Yeah.
That sounds fancy.
Because you can't pay your bills with paper profit.
You cannot.
You can't go to the grocery store and be like, hey, I'm worth $7 million. Well, Stop a Shop gonna be looking at you like, well, these groceries cost $700 or $70.
Cash rules everything around me.
Yeah, you gotta have cash, like actual real life cash for stuff.
Money to spend.
Yeah.
Can't spend your equity.
Yeah.
If you do, it's a loan and you have to pay it back.
The person that buys the $2 million house and can't put furniture in it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I've never wanted to be house poor.
Yeah. I've done it.
Meaning not being able to do anything else.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, I've done it when I was young, buying my first house.
Sometimes you do stuff and you.
When you had your first house.
And you have a plan.
You were cash poor, house rich.
Not my first one.
Nah.
Actually,
for
no,
a little
not,
bit.
Not even my second one.
Oh. My sis responsible.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm going to tell you, when I bought my first house.
My third house, which is the home that I'm in.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
Really?
There was some cash poorness going
on. Yeah. I bought my parents' house. And, you know, whatever furniture they didn't take with them, I had that. But it was falling apart. Like, this stuff had been here for like 20 years at that point. And I remember throwing a party and like, we had a good time, but it was an empty house with folding chairs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it felt good. But like, man, I was like, yo, when I look back at those pictures, I was like, I look like I have these people in a trap house or something.
Oh, wow.
Like a crack den.
So, and good bones.
Yeah. No, for sure. Things worked out. Things worked out. The next thing I'll say is like, you really got to diversify how you make your money.
Yes.
You know, Yeah, and Fawn did do this. Like, she tried to get into, she had the whiskey, she had Humble Baron, but her compensation was 100% tied to the financial well-being of the company.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I will tell you, it's how entrepreneurs get wealthy, but also can mess things up for you.
It's like a concentrated stock position.
And like, it's good to have a couple different sources.
Yep.
Or if you got a couple different clients mm-hmm. or a couple different lines of business. Yeah. Like, it's a good thing.
Yeah. If all of your investments are in real estate, could be a problem. If all of your investments are in the markets, could be a problem. If all your investments are in the same type of investment, if something happens in that industry, you're exposed.
Yeah. That's a fact. Diversify your income. Diversify your balance sheet, your net worth. Like, concentrating on one thing is how people make money. But I mean, there's a lot of tales of people getting ruined by this.
For sure.
I would hope, like, in the high flying years when the company was making big money, I would hope she squirreled some money away.
Right.
I would hope that money landed in some sort of a trust with some asset protection. You know, because
I'm honest, she's got good advisors around her.
I would hope. And I really, like, my lips to God's ears. I just hope that this woman and her family will be safe.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that they won't go hungry, because in our community, we don't have a lot of Fawn Weavers that we see that are building these great, valuable companies.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a chance to stumble and build it back as readily as some of the folks. Like, I remember, like, right. Mike Milliken. He's got the Milliken Institute today. Mm-hmm. Like, he lost people billions of dollars and then made it all back by talking about it, you know, basically. I mean, I simplified his life a little bit. And God bless him. He hires a lot of great people. But I'm saying, like, Black folks don't often have the chance to rebuild. So what I'm saying is, we pray that things will work out for her.
Yes.
Because I'm still proud of her.
Absolutely.
Like, she still did that. Like, she turned story, a New York Times article.
Mm-hmm.
Into a company worth millions of dollars. And I'm not mad at that. Trust but verify, especially when you're dealing with accountants,
mm-hmm.
financial advisors, I'm pointing at Andrea and myself, lawyers.
Yeah.
What's funny, I was on a client call today. He got a letter in the mail saying in 2022, his tax return wasn't filed. And he forwards me the tax return, and it looks like the official record of the return being completed.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly the accountant did the work.
But didn't submit it.
Never submitted it to the IRS.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, trust these advisors.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, look at them with some scrutiny at the same time.
Yeah. And just ask questions.
Yeah.
Sometimes your verification is just through questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been screwed over by an advisor who you trusted? Mm-hmm. I have. I've had accountants tell me wrong advice or say they filed something they didn't.
And their real estate closing, the closing attorney didn't do some things.
Yeah.
And it wasn't incompetency. It could have just been an oversight. I don't really know the reason behind it, but we lost some money behind it.
Lord.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. Failure is the tuition we pay for success. So you paid a little tuition on that transaction.
I
paid a bunch of tuition.
Mm.
We talked earlier about that piercing of the corporate veil, and it's really the idea of keeping your family and business completely separated. That's mm-hmm. biggie right there.
Yep.
Yeah, that's 10 crack commandments. You
I didn't at first, but as you were,
because money and drugs don't miss, like, two chicks in
that's I'm like,
yeah, sorry. No, it's just the idea, like,
you ain't taking my car.
If you've got multiple lines of business, you've got rental properties over here, you've got your side hustle, you know, you're selling things on Etsy over here, you've got your consulting business over here. Each of them needs to be in its own legal entity that is separate and distinct from one another.
Yeah.
Even if you have nothing but real estate,
mm-hmm.
each property needs to be in its own LLC.
Mm.
Otherwise, you're taking a risk. If one thing bad happens in one, you've risked the entire set of assets that are inside that LLC.
That's right.
So you got to keep these things separate. Next, lifestyle creep. Spending more money than what's coming in. taking the loan just because they're willing to give it to you.
Right.
Whether it be a mortgage, a car loan, taking the apartment just because they approved you to pay the rent.
Right.
Like,
luxury,
there's a lot
car,
of
upgrading the home.
Yeah. A lot of these things will backfire on you if it's mm-hmm. not managed properly. Yeah.
I like this phrase. Debt magnifies your lifestyle on the way up.
Word.
But when a financial shock hits, it accelerates your collapse just as swiftly.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Mm.
So I'm hoping that you learned something today that might change your view on how you look at Fawn and the Weavers and Uncle Nearest. I hope you continue to buy the whiskey. It's good whiskey.
Mm.
It still honors a Black family and helps to fund scholarships. I hope those scholarships still get funded. And it's still a great story of a really great Black-owned business that went through a tough time, but hopefully will reemerge soon in the hands of other Black folks. And I just hope not everybody's dancing on the grave of Uncle Nearest. Like, Uncle Nearest already had so much taken from him.
Right.
A whole industry
withheld.
Was built
mm-hmm.
using his knowledge.
Yep.
Using his techniques.
Two different brands, at least two
Word.
Different brands.
So let's celebrate this
the
company.
Good. Yeah.
Let's think fondly about the good times. And if you were at one of those parties.
Hook us up. No, kidding.
Nah, if you were at those parties, shame on you if you're talking smack about the company.
Right.
Because you were right there.
Exactly.
All in the video.
Hosting. mm-hmm, right.
Yeah. And say thank you. Like, say thank you by buying some whiskey. That's real.
Yep.
So listen, hopefully you enjoyed this conversation. We're going to take a little bit of time off. It's the summertime. Andrea's nursing a daughter who's gone through a major surgery.
Yep. She's good. So
yeah,
she's healthy.
I'm going to Montreal Jazz Fest.
Ah.
And maybe some other places.
Yep.
I'm hosting a big family thing, 4th of July. So we got life.
Okay.
Life's going life. We're going to take some time off. And
yeah.
We'll be
Slow
back
down
soon
a
enough.
Little bit.
We'll be back soon enough. We have 200 plus, almost 300 episodes for y'all to listen to while we're away.
Right.
We'll be back very soon.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. Momentum.